And you are listening to FOW Live here on the FOW Radio Network. I'm Patrick. With me, as always, Danny Danger. We'll see where Eric and Mika are later today. But Danny, what a day, what a week in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a heavy couple days, you know, really with, you know, Terry Funk passing yesterday and, you know, him being just kind of one of the, you know, kind of one of the best, you know, to really ever do it. And also somebody that you never really heard a negative thing about personally, professionally. You know, so losing him yesterday, and then, you know, the news that kind of hit the wrestling world a few hours ago of Bray Wyatt's very sudden passing, it is kind of taking everybody by shock and hitting everybody kind of hard. The most recent thing I saw about Bray Wyatt's passing was that apparently he had a big bout with COVID, that kind of aggravated a heart issue, that he had been dealing with, and made that much worse. And that's kind of the issue that he had been dealing with that they kind of been keeping quiet about. And apparently he had a massive heart attack today. And that's what took his life, so suddenly, you know. So it has been a heavy couple days on top of all, you know, the big positive and exciting wrestling news. You know, those kind of stories, definitely topped the list this week.
Yeah. I know for sure. It's just, you know, you lose a guy like Terry Funk, who, I mean, we all know he, you know, the end was near, but you just never know when, right? I mean, he had all his appearance, you know. Decreased appearances, really, yeah. You know all that, but man, when you see a legend like Terry Funk, you know, I mean, the man retired more times than anybody could count.
Yeah, he's kind of the joke of you know, professional wrestling, as far as that retiring and then coming back and retiring and coming back, kind of that. He kind of set the bar for that kind of joke, him. And then, of course, Keiji Muto doing it himself as well. But I mean, one of the best things that Terry did was, you know, essentially, yeah, he retired, and, you know, multiple times and all this. But each time he left, when he came back, he kind of reinvented himself and, you know, changed up his persona, his style, you know, his character, to kind of make himself fresh and interesting, you know, again, even to people who may not have seen his earlier stuff, or may not have been, you know, been, I mean, some of them may not have been old enough to see his earlier stuff. But he always found ways to keep himself exciting, interesting, relevant, you know, from being a, you know, the hard-nosed grappler, you know, teaming with his brother, and, you know, throughout the 70s and into the 80s, teaming with his brother Dory Jr., you know, being so beloved in Japan, and then, you know, coming and being so hated in the United States as a heel, you know, antagonizing all of the favorites throughout the territories, And then coming back as kind of, you know, one of the early innovators of what would become modern hardcore and ultimately deathmatch wrestling, you know, finding his way into WWF and WCW television, you know, at the end of the 90s. And, you know, was still then making kind of sporadic appearances, you know, throughout the 2000s. And, you know, and even as late as, you know, I saw a video from like one of the House of Hardcore shows from like 2013 where he was there. You know, I don't know if he was officially in the match, but he was definitely getting physical. So he found ways to keep evolving himself. And, you know, that ultimately was the key to his longevity of a career. I mean, everybody talked about the middle-aged and crazy, and he was, you know, doing moonsaults, you know, when he was in his 50s on national television and barely making the rotations, you know. It was the middle-aged and crazy was kind of became his tagline there for a while. It just, you know, I mean, you can watch any of his stuff from any era and just had that authenticity. You know, that believability in everything he was doing. And, you know, yet again, you talk professionally and personally. And, you know, every story, every interaction from fan to wrestler to, you know, anybody within the wrestling business who ever came in contact with him was always glowingly positive. And, you know, so, you know, for him to be, you know, to reach the age he was, you know, coming out of that era is almost a testament in itself to his moral character. You know, the 70s and 80s was, and into the 90s was very, very hard on professional wrestlers. You know, there was very much that party lifestyle of, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of, and apparently he managed to stay at least away from most of that to the excesses that so many others fell to. But yeah, the last couple of years is, you know, just as age catches up with you as it does to most when they get into their mid and late 70s. But it's still, yeah, just sad to think that he's, you know, he's finally gone from the world of professional wrestling. It's just kind of, you know, it's kind of heavy in itself.
Yeah. I mean, second generation wrestler, obviously, you know, his dad, Dory Funk, brother, Dory Funk Jr. I mean, the Funk name will always be remembered in pro wrestling, and Terry was definitely a special, you know, a really special talent. You know, like you said, you know, from the 70s and 80s, you know, him wrestling, championship wrestling, becoming NWA world champion. And later, I'm going to Japan. Time spent in WWE, you know, I think it was short-lived in the 80s, but, you know, having, you know, those runs in the WCW, I still remember, you know, one of my favorite matches, you know, Ric Flair versus Terry Funk, and I quit match, a Clash of the Champions, you know, that was fantastic. And, you know, James, you know, becoming part of the stud stable, you know, working, you know, with others and the Bunkhouse Bug, I mean, you know, just, working with the younger guys, you know, and, you know, look at the you know, the type of career he had. I mean, going to ECW,
back when they were when nobody really knew who they were. They were still fledgling, trying to find their identity from, you know, the transition from Eastern Championship Wrestling to Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Right. Working with the young guys there, you know, that's when, you know, he made an impact on that young man that would eventually, you know, become Mankind, Dude Love, Cactus Jack, you know, Mick Foley. Mm-hmm. Funk, I think he was in the first, didn't he main event the first ECW pay-per-view? I mean,
that, I think it was a triple threat, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think it was oh my gosh, it still bust me. I think Tommy Dreamer gave up his spot so that
So Terry could be in
there. Terry could be in there and became ECW champion. Then went back to the lead during the Attitude Era.
Chainsaw Charlie.
Yeah, that was I mean, you know. And then,
went to WCW as kind of a cornerstone of their little hardcore division, doing his moonsaults onto trash cans in his late 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, like every other legend out there, he did make his way to NWA TNA.
Yeah, had his time there. 2000s.
He was truly a man who loved professional wrestling. And, you know, gave his life, literally his life to pro wrestling. And it's just it's a huge loss, but maybe he now rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Bray Wyatt, Mike Rotunda, 36 years old.
With young children.
Yeah. Obviously, worse coming out of just his illness and whatnot, but let's remember all the rumor and innuendo, right? When he first was written out earlier this year, people talking about out of shape, people tell him, he was dealing with something.
Talking about his mental health, not being well, and
all these different things. He's just, never knowing that, what was really going on. And
yeah,
a 36 year old living, he had two young kids behind, and his wife, it's rough. But I'll admit, I was never a fan of Mike Rotunda the wrestler. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But man, the characters he came up with, what he did with what he was given, it was always magic.
A very, very creative as far as character wise goes and story wise goes, from the initial the Wyatt family kind of being backwoods hillbilly religious cult kind of thing, into the different stages and of that character, and into the Firefly Funhouse, and ultimately the Fiend. Immensely huge, I think, influential. His influence throughout the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment, I think, is something that's going to be felt for a long time, just because, like you said, of what he created, what he did with what he was given, and what he did with what he created. A lot of fans really resonated with that stuff really hard, just because it was different, it was exciting, it was interesting, it was out there. From the norm of traditional sports entertainment, and I think you know, there's probably a lot of guys in the indie scene and all this who that was something that drew them into it and were like, hey, you know, this, if, you know, seeing that things like that were possible, storylines like that, characters like that were possible to be successful at the highest level in professional wrestling, I think sparked a lot of creativity in a lot of young guys.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be kind of more his lasting legacy is kind of inspiring the youngers and, you know, even his contemporaries to kind of push the boundaries creatively, you know, creatively with their characters, with their storylines. And, you know, you can argue that what worked and what didn't and, you know, and et cetera, but, you know, it's, I think that's the main, I think that's going to be his biggest influence, is pushing those boundaries creatively, trying unusual things, and, you know, and ultimately having success at the highest level for so long, you know, despite whatever, you know, various injuries and these kind of things that he had, and stops and starts due to injuries and, you know, personal issues or whatever. But I think that's the biggest thing, is that the creativity, you know, and his matches were always good. You know, most of them, you know, he was much more, you know, the characters were much better at building to the matches than actual presenting the matches themselves. You know, I mean, which plays into a lot of wrestling, especially in the sports entertainment era. It's about selling the match, less about going out there and performing something that's, you know, 5, 6, 7 stars, whatever. You know, it's about keeping you entertained. And as long as you're entertained leading up to and during, you know, that's the goal. You know, and then to, you know, I mean, massive heart attack, 36, you know, when, I mean, the news of this only, you know, broke, you know, we're starting recording at 10 o'clock. It was right about 6:30 that Triple H came out with the news that he'd heard from his family. So it's still really fresh, you know, and it's, I mean, any loss in the wrestling industry, you know, can be very sudden and very jarring. It's a very, an oddly tight group and community. And it's, yeah, so anytime anybody passes, especially so young, it kind of hits everybody very hard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's not forget, you know, this is another guy who had, a third generation wrestler, right? I mean, his grandfather, Black Jake Mulligan, his dad, the former IRS, you know, being part of the Wyndham family, Barry, Kendall, his uncles, his brother, Bo. You know, he also comes from, you know, a wrestling dynasty, and having to follow those footsteps, knowing from a very young age that he wanted to be a pro wrestler in the WWE, learning the word sport after being a collegiate football player, becoming part of NXT, becoming part of Nexus as Husky Harris, developing himself, eventually, you know, returning as Bray Wyatt. The Wyatt family is one of the, you know, best groups at that time. You know, stepping away, always reinventing himself, you know, coming back as the Fiend. You know, and the Firefly style is just having this, you know, this persona, you know, the good Bray Wyatt and, you know, the evil Fiend. It's just, I don't know, it was always entertaining. And then, of course, you know, he did eventually get released by WWE. I think cutting costs was the reason, whatever, but he got rehired when he came back. it was like, okay, well, what do I do next? And it was, you know, we only started to get glimpses of what could have been. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's just, you know, the way he died, 36 years, just no one saw it coming. But, you know, it was his time to go, unfortunately. It's sad. And, yeah, two legends in the Northern Riders. But, man, what makes me, one thing that does comfort me about Wyndham, not gonna be here, is he's got his brother waiting for him. You know, at least we got two members of the Wyatt family now reunited.
Yeah, Luke Harper, you know, unfortunately meeting on the other side before him. It's all very emotional, and everybody's still kind of processing it only a few hours after the news broke.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's tough, especially because, you know, you got two guys in totally opposites, right? You know, just.
Yeah.
Yeah, one's 79 years old. You know, the other one's 36. One expecting, but even when you are expecting it, you never know.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily make the loss easier, right, when you're expecting it. I mean, you can prepare yourself emotionally only so much for, right, somebody's loss, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, our thoughts and prayers are with the with the families of Terry Funk and Wyndham Rotunda. How they must be feeling. But yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to you guys and all the fans who are, you know, who are feeling this loss. The show must go on, so let's move on, Danny. Edge, he had his final WWE match. Currently on the contract this past Friday against Sheamus on SmackDown on Fox.
Hearing the news that, you know, oh, it's his final match, like, earlier in the week, I was like, really? Like, he's retired? Like, it seemed kind of sudden to me. And I guess because, you know, the hope was that he would sign a new deal with WWE, and negotiations just fell through. And here comes, you know, oh, it's SmackDown. It's Edge's last match. And everybody's like, huh? He's retiring, like, very, it seemed very quickly, you know, and to be kind of a random match, you know, somebody he wanted to wrestle, he picks a match on a SmackDown, you know, and they kind of dedicate this, you know, the whole episode, 25 years of Edge, you know, which is okay, you know, 9 of those years he didn't wrestle, but, you know, it's okay, well, 25 years of Edge, but, yeah, just to have a random match on SmackDown versus Sheamus. He wins, and then, okay, there you go. It seemed very strange and sudden, you know, that somebody multi-time world champion and all this is just like, oh yeah, here you go, your career's done now so quickly, so suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we may think it was sudden, right? But who knows? Yeah. Maybe, you know, you know, they knew that the deal was coming up and they were going to negotiations. And according to Edge, there is a contract for him to sign. He just wants to explore his options.
Yeah. Well, and so that's, you know, that's the thing that's coming out a little bit more now. You know, and fans were kind of shocked and upset. There was a lot of mixed reactions to, you know, to Edge announcing, to WWE announcing Edge retiring. You know, some people were kind of like, okay, well, this is kind of a good thing. You know, he's getting to go out on his own terms rather than, you know, than when he retired the first time due to injury and kind of being unable to compete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many years have passed. He gotten so much, you know, healthier and stronger. You know, came back and kind of was able to do a lot of things that he didn't do before. And you know, now, yeah, then word comes out later that, yeah, it was through negotiations. You know, apparently the rumor was that Edge had said, okay, here's what you guys have to provide to me in order for me to resign. WWE said no. So that was kind of the end of negotiations. And, you know, so they went ahead and, you know, done with WWE. But then, of course, the speculation lies like, well, you know, I mean, TK's kind of an idiot with a whole lot of money. Maybe he'll go ahead and meet those demands. Edge can go hang out with Christian for a while and we can do Hardys and Edge and Christian one more time. And, you know, Edge can get a shit ton of money and not really have to do that much. And then he can retire when he feels like it, you know? So that's where the speculation is now that he could be all elite.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did clear up part of that rumor. You know, according to him, he didn't ask for anything. They did not deny him. They simply just gave him a contract extension and he just wasn't sure if he was going to resign it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he put out a video today.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, there's obviously things that, you know, I mean, that he may want to do, he may want to rekindle. I mean, why not get a paycheck out of Toy Car?
Well, I mean, he also ventured into acting, you know, in his time away from wrestling. You know, he was kind of a featured character in that Viking show, and so there could be avenues of acting he maybe wants to explore further. You know, maybe completely away from wrestling for a while.
Yeah. Do you think you will see him at least a temporary AEW, like a Rob Van Dam, a Matt Cardona?
I say it's probably pretty likely. You know, I wouldn't say it's 100%, but it's definitely not out of the question. Because connecting us from down the road once again.
Yeah, it sounds like she is in not the WWE universe, but she's in the Mika Villas universe, and of course that universe is so far, far away. It's intergalactically impossible to hear her.
We can hear her coughing, but
listen, Edge is going to be on the next GCW, the big GCW show, Edge versus Matt Cardona. I'm calling it now. You're welcome.
All right, so apparently she's booking Matt Cardona versus Edge or Adam Copeland.
GCW. Yeah. The Edgehead versus the Edge.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting one. See where Edge lands. I mean, he may just want to take a break. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, this last run he's had with WWE since he came back, he's pretty much done it on his own terms, right? I mean, look at what's happened. He's wrestled when he's wanted to. He's taken time off when he's needed to. Maybe not always healthy. You know, at his age, a few injuries as he you know, as he progresses with his wrestling matches. But yeah, I mean, what a career. This is it for him, WWE. I would still love to see him, you know, get a nice farewell, but you know, they don't happen like that these days. So we may not see a set of we like to see, but you know, as long as Edge is happy, his family's happy, and by all means, go to All Elite, go, you know, go anywhere you can go. And at the end of the day, if he ever wants to return home to the league, I'm sure that that's always a possibility. But yeah. All Elite could be what's next for him. And we'll just find out, especially this Sunday, as they present their largest wrestling event, 80,000 plus at Wembley Stadium. I don't think that is the right word for what I thought when they first announced the show and how they will sell out. But I was cautious because I have seen, you know, that they sometimes have a hard time selling out arenas in the United States. So yeah. How would we go about? Are you surprised about the 80,000 plus that will be attending All In this Sunday?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, they have, you know, kind of a consistently inconsistent track record of selling tickets throughout their tours. You know, some cities it's a sellout within, you know, within a few days or near sellout within a few days. And others, like, you know, they were in here in Georgia this week, and it was quite far from a sellout. You know, I mean, they maybe had 60, it looked from pictures I saw, maybe 60% capacity at most. So to have them sell so many tickets so quickly in Wembley, I guess it's a testament to how popular they are in the UK. And I had no idea they were that popular in the United Kingdom. You know, to the point that they've been, you know, pretty much sold out for weeks and weeks. I'm very surprised. I mean, it's a good thing, you know. It's definitely a good thing for professional wrestling. But, you know, you sell that many tickets that quickly, expectations run very, very high for you to deliver. We'll see if they can deliver on that. And I mean, the big test will be, yeah, coming out of that, you know, how fans react, and, you know, and if there's a return announced, and how well those tickets sell, I guess, based on this event.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, this place almost sold out its entirely before a match was even announced.
Yeah.
That itself, you know, that's kind of like WrestleMania-esque, you know.
Yeah.
WrestleMania went on sale last Tuesday. By Thursday, when it went to the general public, sold over 90,000 individual tickets. Obviously, they're on, you know, two nights, so you know, divide it however you must, but yeah, over 90,000 tickets, and that's just the beginning, I believe. I mean, there's still gonna be, maybe it was like 120 something is their record for combined tickets for Mania. Yeah, it's a huge number, but the fact that AEW was able to do this without adding any matches also talks about its popularity as well with the UK fans. So let's take a look at the show and see what we got. Aussie Open will be defending the Ring of Honor tag team titles against MJF and Adam Cole on the pre-show.
Yeah, we talked about this match of how strange it is for them to be headlining the pre-show and then ultimately – you know, headlining the top singles match as the main event of the show.
Yeah.
Very, very unusual indeed.
Mm-hmm. We got Jack Perry, who's going to be facing off against Hook for the FTW Championship.
Cool. Your close personal friends, Hook and Jack Perry?
No. As hopefully people will see what Lenny is talking about in a few days. By the way, Jack Perry, you still owe me $5 water buds. All right, for the AEW Women's Championship, Sheeta will be defending against Toni Storm, Soraya, and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
I mean, I really hope Sheeta retains. I really hope that Sheeta isn't being used as a transitional championship just to give the belt to Soraya, you know, kind of in her home country. We'll see, I guess.
Well, remember, I mean, people got to lose in their hometowns.
But that's more the WWE rule. We haven't seen enough consistency with All Elite to determine if they follow that rule too.
Well, I will say, case in point, last night, you know, I saw four people from Georgia losing on the taping.
Were any of them big stars, or were they being used in Texas? Okay,
Air Fox, Vadi Morales, who we know.
But Vare is not a full time employee there. No, he's kind of being used as an
agent. I'm just giving you names. I'm just giving you the names I have.
Yeah.
Zicky Dice, who lost to Keith Lee.
Oh, see, I didn't realize that Zicky was free of his Impact contract.
Yeah.
I also heard the Renegade Twins were there. They're from Atlanta, too.
The Renegade Twins were there, and I thought they were built from Florida.
No. They're built from Ohio, but they trained at the Nightmare Factory here in Georgia.
Oh, gotcha. And what am I thinking? There was another person who was there who was from Atlanta.
Darby Allin?
He won his match.
Okay, well, there you go.
I guess Sting also, he won his match.
Yeah. Built from Huntington Beach, California.
But really resides in Georgia.
Yeah.
The blonde thing is the one who lived in Venice Beach.
He was Venice Beach. Tito Ortiz was the Honey Beach bad boy.
Mm-hmm. Darby Allin and Sting versus Swerve Strickland and Christian Cage in a coffin match.
Yeah. I guess bigger news here in Georgia, too, is Sting and Darby Allin showing up at the WWE4 training school during their weekly free student shows to attack AR Fox.
Yeah. That was great. That was great.
Imagine being at a free wrestling student show in an industrial park and fucking Sting shows up. Holy shit.
Yeah.
First, Darby Allin's there, and you're like, okay, this is kind of cool. Darby's here, okay. And then you're like, holy shit, it's Sting! That's pretty nuts to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people may have peed a little.
Yeah.
All right. So, originally, it was supposed to be Swerve Strickland and AR Fox. But yeah. AR Fox, lost the confidence of Joey. Swerve Strickland and Swerve kicked him out of the Mogul Embassy. And that's where we got Christian Cage as a replacement.
Christian Cage and Sting reigniting their feud from Impact over the NWA World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah. All right, next up, the Golden Elite, Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Page versus Kunsuke Takeshita and Bullet Club Gold. This is going to be an interesting one. Sounds like it's going to be a fun one. Here we go. I mean, Omega is finally going to be able to put his hands on the man who took over from him, from Bullet Club.
Well, and Kota Ibushi, once again, getting his hands on Jay White. Jay White, you know, cheated him out of the Wrestle Kingdom opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kota Ibushi had won the G1 and won the briefcase, and Jay White beat him for it with his feet on the ropes. And it was Jay White who went to Wrestle Kingdom that year to fight for the championship, not Kota Ibushi.
Yeah. So that should be a fun match. Another fun match, Eddie Kingston and Sean Cassidy. What's his name? That's Sean.
Orange, not Sean Orange, Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy. And the best friends, Chuck Taylor, Screw Chuck Taylor, and Trent Reda versus Penta and Cero Miedo and the Black Bull Combat Club. Who apparently have been joined by Santana and Ortiz, who are back. So
yeah, a little surprise there. Especially given word of their personal falling out between each other.
Right. Yeah. No. Between that, the injury and everything, maybe they had time to talk about it. You know. Well.
Maybe so, yeah.
Was Santana was out?
Ray Phoenix was supposed to be in that match, but apparently visa issues have stopped him from being able to go compete in the UK.
Right. So apparently similar situation as why he couldn't go to Triple Mania this year and defend his title. So because he's applying for permanent residency or whatnot, I think, with the United States, while he is on residency, he has to work a minimum, I think, of like 70 hours a week. I'll be home 2 weeks or something like that. So,
goodness.
He needed to say that basically he... But bottom line is he needed to stay in the United States to establish his residency.
Yeah.
Obviously, leaving would have caused that to either start over or whatnot. He chose just to stay here. And, you know, meet the criteria that he needed to meet in order to be able to be in the United States permanently. So I don't blame him. They did write him on TV, though, this past week. So, yeah. It's going to be an interesting four-way match. But, yeah, I'll watch anything with Eddie Kingston. So, yeah. All right, next up, singles match, Will Ospreay versus Chris Jericho. Both men have made a promise to kill each other in this match.
Homicide in the UK. All right.
I definitely think it needs to be Ospreay's time to shine. Jericho gains nothing from winning.
Yeah,
he's gonna get to play his Judas song live.
Play and sing himself down the ring with Fozzy. Yeah,
right. So I mean, he get let him have that and then give the rest of the glory to Will Ospreay. That's all I ask. CM Punk versus Samoa Joe for the ROH World Championship.
Is it the ROH World Championship or is it for CM Punk's real world championship? Or is it for both?
No, I'm sorry, you are right. It's for the real world championship. My bad. I misread that.
Yeah. Those two men had, you know, the legendary feud that essentially brought Ring of Honor to such popularity and heights, you know, brought so many national eyes and international eyes to the Ring of Honor product. That was a lot of years ago. Honestly, I don't know what to expect from the match.
Yeah, I mean, it could go a lot of ways with these two, so
yeah,
we shall see. The House of Black will be facing off against Billy Gunn, who's going by Billy Gunn. I guess he's not afraid of
even though he quote unquote retired, left his boots in the ring, all that stuff a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he retired for one match only, and this time it will be him and what are the boys call themselves?
The Ass Boys?
No.
The Acclaimed?
Yeah, the Acclaimed, that's it. The Acclaimed, I mean, they needed, you know, Daddy Ass back, and Daddy Ass is retired, but Billy Gunn, the Badass, is not, and that's who the House of Black woke up.
The one Billy Gunn, brother. He's the one.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see six-man tag action. What should be your main event of the evening, MJF versus Adam Cole?
Yeah, I'm still kind of uncertain with that being a main event in front of 90,000 people, but fuck it, here we are.
I mean, like I said, they sold most of this out without any matches, so
yeah.
At this point, they could do another Kenny Omega versus a blow up doll match happen, and nobody would complain.
Well, they wouldn't, but yes, I mean, we talked earlier about, you know, the quality of this show basically making that territory or breaking that territory, and ultimately their reputation and success further on. You know, I mean, if they produce a very lackluster show, I mean, it's in front of that kind of crowd, in front of those many eyes, it's I mean, it would be very, very damaging to the company and their reputation.
Yeah, for sure. So they also they didn't announce this, but it also came out that one of the original planned matches for All In was supposed to be Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega.
Oh, okay.
That was the rumor match.
Yeah, but of course Bryan's broken arm kind of push that out of the way, yeah.
I mentioned to somebody that I believe that match, Kenny versus Bryan, would have been like worthy of what we got in SummerSlam 1992. You know, I think comparing this match that could have been versus the match that won, the match that did happen, with the British Bulldog winning the WWE title over Bret Hart. That's me, though. Do you see any of the matches in the current card even make you think this could be that type of match?
So what I'm missing your reference. So what was
So you're saying that
any of these
Bulldog
matches
versus Bret Hart, you're saying there was supposed to be it was supposed to be something else, and then it became that?
No. So let me rephrase. So, you know, I compared Kenny versus Brian as an equal to what was Bret versus Davey Boy at SummerSlam 92 in Wembley, right?
Okay.
Obviously, we don't have that.
Yeah, but so you're saying that match was kind of considered an all-time classic and, you know, was huge, highly publicized. So you're saying, Bret Hart versus Bulldog was not an all-time classic?
It was an all-time classic. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega could have been that. To me, it's the my question to you is, any match on this current card even come close to being that type of match?
I mean, I don't think so, honestly. Nothing. Like, I mean, we talked about nothing really kind of sticks out that strongly from this card to me.
Yeah.
You know, it could just be any other. Hell, I mean, it could be just a special episode of Dynamite / you know, Collision taping to me. You know, Dynamite, Rampage, Collision, a special week, and just one, you know, kind of one long show. Yeah, I mean, nothing really stands out to me on this card that, you know, we could be proven wrong, but nothing has that kind of story, that kind of hype kind of built behind it, like especially like that match did, you know, the family divided and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean I feel the same, similar. So I just want to kind of see Gage. Maybe is it just me? Am I hating on AEW? Is my you know, obviously I paid to go there last night.
Yeah,
to give them money, so I don't hate the product. But you know, I expect a certain kind of product. When you tell me you're going to Wembley Stadium, you selling that place out. Yeah, give me something I can remember. And they could probably still, right? There's still so much they could do. I mean, the show's going to be the show, so we're going to watch that. Oh, I also failed to mention, I don't know why I skipped over this match, FTR versus the Young Bucks. Their third match, this will be for the AEW World Tag Team titles.
Yeah, I mean, in that, like I said, when we talked about it last week, to me, I'm like, they've only fought three times. It seems like they've done a lot more.
It's because of the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks just have been everywhere and anywhere in the last years.
True.
I don't think they've taken any time off, to be honest.
They've taken little bits here and there, but yeah, it's They definitely have been a strong consistent in All Elite Wrestling since its inception.
Yeah. And then, of course, you still got to figure out what to do with All Out, right?
A week later. Yeah. So we don't have anything officially confirmed for All Out yet, do we?
We do. So Luchasaurus is going to be wrestling Darby Allin for the TNT title.
Okay.
And Miro is going to be wrestling Powerhouse Hobbs.
Okay. Not exactly hype train type matches in themselves, you know. Mid-card feuds for mid-card championships, but I guess it's kind of pending the what happens at All In, will determine the card, kind of. But mm-hmm. yeah, it ain't exactly making waves on its own just yet.
Not yet. But they still got plenty of time to prove it wrong, right? And make these yeah. matches memorable. So.
Yeah.
Regardless, it'll be a fun night of pro wrestling.
We certainly hope so.
Sports entertainment, or whatever else you like to call it.
They don't call it sports entertainment because that's the evil empire, remember? Yeah, sports entertainment is not what they want to be.
But you know what they were? They were warm as NXT presented to you Heatwave as their latest themed show on Tuesday nights.
The Heatwave as they transition from World Championship Wrestling to Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yep. So let's take a look here. Heatwave, we're gonna see where is that card. Alright, so we had Ilja Dragunov defeat Trick Williams. Ivy Nile defeated Ava. Noam Dar.
Yeah, not Nicole. Yeah.
Yes. Noam Dar defeated Nathan Freeman.
Heritage Cup thingy.
The Heritage Cup Championship. Yeah. Which I guess now Noam Dar owns that for actual good until he loses again.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lyra Valkyrie and Dragon Lee defeated I don't know why I'm coming up with these names right now. Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
English is not my first language, guys. And Dom Mysterio in a mixed tag match. Of course, Dragon Lee's after Dirty Dom's NXT North American title. And Carmelo Hayes defeated Wesley. To retain the NXT Championship.
Hmm.
So. I imagine that we're going to eventually see. Let me ask you. What would you prefer to see? Carmelo Hayes versus Ilja Dragunov. Hayes versus. Who was the other person that was thinking about? Actually, I can't think of anybody else right now. The Stylish Kid.
Bron Breakker.
Bron Breakker, that's the name escaping me. So do you think he'll go the Bron Breakker type, or do you think he'll face somebody like he'll face Ilja next?
I don't know. I'm really not sure what's next for Carmelo Hayes. I mean, as far as I'm not really sure what the next big feud for Hayes would be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, just because Ilja wrestled Trick Williams, that's the route to go. But he did just beat him, Camilo. So it'd be kind of weird, but you know, people like to have rematches just to have rematches. Sometimes,
especially
in the WWE, where anything can happen. So, yeah, but that was your heat wave, and of course they announced their next special. Was it No Mercy?
Oh my goodness, I can't remember.
Yeah, NXT No Mercy, November 30th. In Bakersfield, California. So, no Hog Wild for you yet.
No. Sadly, no.
All right, well, we might as well give it a little more time since Eric's not here. But we've got some matches already. We have a card, we have some matches. October 9th, Destruction in Raigoku. And we got some pretty darn good matches. Leo Rush and Speedball Bailey will be facing off with Hiromu Takahashi.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got we have Kushida and oh my gosh, Kevin Knight facing off against the Intergalactic Jet Setters, Clark Connors and Jordan Maloney.
I thought they were the part of the Bullet Club War Dogs. I thought the Intergalactic Jet Setters was Kevin Knight and Kushida, right?
Yes, it is. I said it backwards.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I was kind of like say I said the names first and then the group, and then the versus. So it sounded off. Yeah. English not my first language. We all know that. Eventually people will believe that one. Chase Owens versus Tangaloa. So far have been all at it.
Yeah.
There's a few more matches I feel like they announced, but yeah, of course They had a successful junior heavyweight, juniors, what do you call it? That term they had it, the 23 arena.
The Super Junior Festival.
Yeah, the festival.
Yeah.
So Speedball, of course, won that one. Great talent. I think I may have mentioned this in the earlier podcast about how people had been one of the highlights of WrestleMania weekend.
He's been Speedball since being able to come back to the United States has just been on a massive tear. you know, just anywhere and everywhere across the United States against anybody and everybody, and just having fantastic matches every single outing. You know, he had an amazing showing in the Best Super Juniors, you know, won his block and, you know, went on into the Final Four. Did not, you know, was eliminated there. Did not make the finals, but had an amazing run. Got a lot of big wins over big competition. And just yet again, continues to have great matches with anybody and everywhere. You know, as he's, you know, he's technically an Impact contracted talent, but with their taping schedule, that leaves a lot of room for the talent to take other bookings. And I mean, Speedball's out there 2 and 3 times every week. And he's, I mean, he's absolutely a joy to watch, with anybody and everybody. And yet again, one of those young guys that you hear, you know, everybody talks so highly of him personally and professionally, as well as what he's capable of in the ring. I mean, he's absolutely one of the top stars in the American independent scene and showcasing around the world as well.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, always a great talent.
Yeah.
But I think that he was really one of the true winners of, you know, somebody always sticks out as a wrestler that everybody says, wow, this is the guy.
You know, that kind of becomes the MVP. Yeah, the MVP, essentially, of that weekend. And I mean, I don't even remember how many times he wrestled that weekend. But it seems like he was
on every show.
That's what I was going to say. It seemed like he was on every show against a top-level caliber opponent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Multiverse, you know, the first Multiverse United show, he wrestled Tanahashi in a singles match.
Right. Yeah, so great guy, great talent. Also, if you want to learn more about Speedball, I believe Wrestling Live TV, Internet Wrestling Live,
IWTV.
Sorry,
yeah,
Independent Wrestling Television.
Yes,
IWTV did a, you know, they have their TLO specials, you know, the life of, and they did one on Speedball. So definitely go in and check that out. If you never checked out IWTV, they do offer a free month when you sign up, if you've never had it. But yeah, definitely worth checking out if you want to learn more about the guy. So also for Destruction in Raigoku, we're gonna have a world heavyweight championship match. Sonata will be defending against Evil. Finley will be defending his never open weight championship against Tama Tonga. And Alex Coughlin gave Kid the War Dogs of Bullet Club. Will be facing off against Hikuleo and ELP, who I guess ELP has officially joined the GOD.
So last we saw, you know, he ELP, you know, was in the G1, but he didn't really have a lot of friends or allies, you know, after his time in Bullet Club. And he was, you know, technically a free agent, kind of, in the Hontai ranks, you know. but hadn't really been accepted by most of the other Hontai wrestlers. He was still trying to prove himself to the wrestlers and the fans that he was changed and kind of make amends for all of the wrongdoings he did while part of Bullet Club. And it seems that GOD were some of the first guys to kind of stand alongside him. And he did some teaming, you know, at the G1 finals shows, you know, teaming with members of GOD. So I don't know if he's officially in the Gorillas of Destiny
group, or if they're just kind of teaming together as part of Hontai, as he's still working to kind of prove himself to the rest of the roster.
Yeah. Well, I guess only time will tell. We also have second show Destruction in Kobe, and that one has also three matches signed. We're gonna have Osprey facing off against Yota Tsuji. I don't know if the United Kingdom Championship is on the line. No, yeah, the United Kingdom Championship is not on the line. So
okay.
Yeah. Naito versus Jeff Cobb, because Jeff Cobb wanting that opportunity at the champion on January 4th. So Naito putting his contract on the line. Shingo facing off against the Great Okan, which, you know, it's going to be as tough, as hard hitting as it sounds. Yeah. And then the Maidon Kill will be challenging the IWGP tag team heavyweight champions, go to Yoshihashi for those belts. So, let's see, any other matches? Oh, yes, who can forget everybody's favorite title? The King of Pro Wrestling title. I will be defending as Taishi face up against Show.
Yeah, Show making the challenge for that championship. Special rules have yet to be determined for that one, right?
I don't think we have exactly what the rule sets are going to be yet, but with these two, who knows? I just know I'm looking forward. It took me a while to grow on Taishi, but the more and more I saw him in singles action, the more I became a fan.
Oh yeah, I mean it was definitely a slow progress over a few years. Of him breaking. For so long he was the low effort guy. He didn't really want to wrestle. He would kind of cheat. He would kind of seem like he didn't really want to be there. And then slowly, this fighting spirit, kind of got drawn out of him. And we would see it here and there and here and there. And then, his longer team with Zack Sabre Jr., his Dangerous Techers, I think helped bring out a lot of that as well. But I mean, he's been proving the last couple of years that he can hang with just about anybody. He's an outstanding competitor. He really is.
Yeah.
A lot of Kawada in his moves and his style and everything as well.
Right. Well, now let's take a look and see what we've got going on here. In the WWE. So we got some things happening for the Payback. We got Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus in a steel cage match. Seth freaking Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the World Heavyweight title, and Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez for the Women's World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
The latter, I guess, is not, is, you know, what we kind of sort of expected to be announced at some point. Yeah, the other two, I guess, were eventually going to happen. We were just wondering where we were going to see it on the Payback.
Yeah. Apparently so. Payback is coming back.
Yeah, but still no Road Wild. Sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, Payback is going to be an interesting one because that's going to be the day before All In. And, you know, it's the first time I think this is the first time that WWE is doing a Saturday pay-per-view against college football.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they do on Thursday night.
I mean, once football comes back, college football, you know, we'll see how ratings do, I guess.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, but that's coming up soon. And I imagine that the rest of the matches will be announced between this next Wednesday. I mean, I'm assuming that we're gonna see the Miz versus LA Knight. So. Since they've been feuding. Right now, you know, we could probably. I mean, the tag team titles might be put against Judgment Day. It looks like at least right now, is a route. They might. They still keep teasing there was a breakup between Priest and Balor, so. Yeah,
still teasing that over the championship and the briefcase, those kind of things, yeah.
Yeah, so I could possibly see, like, maybe book them against the tag team champions and then they lose the match. No, break up. Unless they hold out for my thoughts about waiting to like Survivor Series and lose some type of Survivor Series ass like Shawn and Diesel, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see that happens. But yeah, coming up, I mean, kudos to Triple H and Tony Khan on announcing only so many matches. For their next upcoming pay-per-views. Obviously, Chicago's going to do well for AEW's pay-per-views. So I think that's the reason why they didn't have to worry about cost. But we'll see how that really does in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in a couple of weeks. Oh, a week and a half, not even 2 weeks. So time is flying. Time is flying. Lastly, it was my talk. So, all the rumors are still there about Kairi Sane.
Yeah, about Kairi.
You know, she continues to talk about, you know, in September, she's taking a hiatus.
Yeah, from, indefinite hiatus is all she said. Yeah.
Of course, that could just mean a hiatus again from her home country.
Yeah.
And come back and explore. Rumors I've read is that she's really interested in being able to possibly come back and you know, to WWE, give them a second chance.
Yeah, and part of the rumor that I'm hearing now is that it was that it's part of, you know, with Triple H taking back over and the success of that Io Sky's had recently, you know, is kind of giving her hope that things could be different this time, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Which, you know, I think that's what people want. That was the goal, right? When Triple H took over, it's like this distinctism about the way that they would run things and the way that they run things. The way that Vince runs things and the way that Triple H would. I think Triple H has definitely established his own mark in how business is handled and in the league and how the, you know, the talent is treated. So, I mean, good for her. If she wants to come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're definitely great talent is much needed, you know. And that means that if we ever get another pirate ship, there's still that chance. Plus, Dudley owns the pirate ship. Just make her jump, just build it up and let her jump out of it.
That's what I'm saying. You know, give her the big show, let her come out of the fucking pirate ship and call it a day.
And then you can let her go again if you want.
So. Yeah. And hopefully not put her in there against dangerous, untrained people who will injure her again.
Yeah. But yeah, that's when I read those news, I was very encouraged to see. I was like, oh. Somebody's talking about actually wanting to go to the WWE instead of going to see Uncle Tony next door.
Yeah.
It's good to have an alternative, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And apparently John Cena's coming back.
Again. Okay.
Yeah, he's going to be making a one-off appearance at... I think one of the upcoming SmackDowns later this year. Of course, because he just didn't just leave like a couple of months ago and coming back in a few months. He already has new gear on sale. And this is what really keeps him on the payroll. He never has to wrestle. He just needs to give them the right so they can sell his merch any way they see fit.
Yeah, yeah. Make a TV appearance wearing said merch every so, you know, every 3 to 6 months and keep selling the new John Cena line, yeah.
I mean, the John Cena one sells that, you know, it's just a thing.
That's it. He's the merch machine himself, Jonathan Cena.
I still wish I had bought the yellow t-shirt with the black chicken seam thing.
But well, you know, you can probably still find it online if you dig deep enough.
I feel like somebody had that t-shirt at WrestleCade, but they wanted more money than I was willing to pay. So
yeah, well, I'm talking like eBay or Etsy or something, and see if. But yeah, it just depends if you're willing to pay for it or not, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm not that crazy about paying for it, but
yeah, yeah.
Well, Danny, this has been a rough episode to come through with all the bad news. I mean, I'm still shell-shocked. I mean, I had notes, I had all these thoughts of where we're gonna go as I was thinking about the show yesterday, and a lot of it went out the window, to be honest. After hearing the news of the loss of Terry Funk and Bray Wyatt, so yeah, that doesn't sound like one of our usual episodes, obviously, you know, we love to play off each other a little bit more, including having Eric, and I think missing Eric is also a huge thing. But thank you all for listening. It's going to be a special time at Wembley. I hope that all the talent there cheers. I can't wait to see some of the matches. And yeah, continue to just enjoy this beautiful sport, you know, pro wrestling, you know, thing we love, you know, so much. It's just, it's great. And, you know, wrestlers will celebrate just, you know, AEW success with Wembley and, you know, the next couple of weeks with next pay-per-views coming up. All awesome. You know, always a great time to be a wrestling fan right now, Danny. There's so many options, and not only just for the big two, but independently, a lot, you know, companies are starting to rise again, and it's always great to see that.
Yeah. I mean, just not the big two, but, you know, other companies, independents in the United States, as well as, you know, companies internationally in Japan and Mexico and the United Kingdom and, you know, burgeoning companies in Australia, you know, as well as in other parts of Europe and Asia. You know, I mean, if you got a flavor of professional wrestling, I guarantee you it's out there somewhere. You just got to dig deep enough.
Yeah. And we love it all. We love coming back every week, day, week, night, not every week, not, but once every week, 1 week, then to just talk to you guys and talk to each other about the world of professional wrestling. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at AFOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F and Danger. I'm on Twitter at Yellowman PA. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. Eric's on Twitter at EJ423X. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, anywhere else. Yeah. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.